terms of social media and what unfolds in cyberspace, it stands out when something comes to us directly and profoundly. And it stands out when something is tailor-made for us and isn't just a reply-all message. And the passage this morning from the Gospel of Luke, I think, really speaks to that. And I guess it answers the question, what does it sound like when God truly speaks directly to us and into our situation and into our set of circumstances? Hear the word of God from the 19th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 1st and through the 10th verses. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." May the Lord, as always, bless the reading and hearing and discerning and applying of his word. Shall we pray? Lord, we do thank you for the ways in which it becomes evident that you are invested in our lives. We thank you for the vividness of the biblical record, and we see in it reflections not only of ourselves, but how you speak into our difficult and sometimes challenging lives. Bless now this reading, bless now our hearing of your Spirit as you direct us even in this moment. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You all know Zacchaeus. If you've spent half a minute in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, you remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And we sometimes relegate Zacchaeus to the comfort of a Sunday school story or a vacation Bible school illustration, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we do this story a great disservice if we leave it there. Because this is one of the most radical and one of the most impactful encounters in Scripture. Because when you think about what's unfolding here, it speaks into the way in which Jesus confronts the world around him, the world around us, and the way those who are confronted by the grace and mercy and power and love of God are able to respond. So first understand this. We've, again, relegated Zacchaeus to a place of kind of comfortable recognition in our little ditty that we would sing, etc. But know that Zacchaeus was a hated man. He was awful. He stole from the poor. He exploited the tax system. You see, in Jericho, he was the representative of the Roman government. He was a Jew, and it made it that much worse because he was seen as traitorous amongst his people because he was usurious in the way in which he collected taxes so he could keep a large measure and then send the rest to Rome. He was awful. He wasn't just simply the subject of a little song that we might sing. He was somebody who was looked upon with anger and loathing and contempt. It's hard to overestimate how disdainful and how awful Zacchaeus was viewed by those around him in Jericho. So it's interesting that in this instance, when Jesus is making his way into Jericho, that Zacchaeus, out of some measure of interest or curiosity, decides he wants to see this Jesus as he is passing by. One other interesting note of cynical irony, and that is that Zacchaeus' name is translated as the pure one and the righteous one. So you can imagine the kind of cynicism that the people in Jericho used when they talked about Zacchaeus, because here he was the epitome of the very opposite of purity and righteousness. Somebody who exploited those who were exploitable, somebody who took advantage of those who could be taken advantage of. But here he is. We find him wanting to see Jesus. And because of this particularly noted physical attribute, his smallness of stature, he climbs up into a sycamore tree so that he might not even get a better view, but get a view at all. Because evidently from the record, he was so small of stature that he wouldn't have been able to see Jesus in any measure if he had not done what he did. So Zacchaeus climbs up into the sycamore tree and the crowd is gathered. And I'm certain that as Jesus was making his way through that throng in Jericho, there were those who were shouting adulation. There were those who were there out of curiosity. And I'm sure that any and every one of them would have been pleased if Jesus had taken note of them and their presence. But that's not what he does. He finds Zacchaeus, who, because of his, if you will, physical disadvantage, makes his way up into an awkward and maybe even precarious place, but it was there in that unusual place that Jesus finds him. And maybe the first place we can stop in the understanding of this record, in the understanding of this story, is that sometimes we find ourselves in difficult places. We find ourselves in unusual places. Sometimes we've backed ourselves into corners. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where it seems like there's no reasonable way out. But you ought to take joy and rejoice in the fact that no matter how difficult your situation is, Jesus is able to not only find you, but to meet you there with transformative power and love. Sometimes we think, I've done it to myself. And by the way, I conjecture, I believe that part of the reason that Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree so he could see Jesus was because he was so despised and loathed by everyone that nobody would have been willing to give him a place in the front of the crowd so that he would have been able to see what was going on. So in fact, I conjecture that he climbed up into that sycamore tree, yes, so he'd have a better view, but in reality, that sycamore tree was really the only option that he had. But even in that moment, Jesus not only sees him and acknowledges him, but once again, this is a direct message. Because in looking up and seeing Zacchaeus in that tree and saying to him, come down because I must go to your house today, implicit in those few words is the fact that Jesus understood and realized the circumstances of Zacchaeus' life. He understood what his past was. He understood the turmoil of his present. And he also understood the hopelessness of his future if Zacchaeus went on in the same measure that he was going on now. He understood all of that. And that's what he wanted to confront in that moment. And that's really the good news that we ought to celebrate, is that that's the way in which Jesus wants to engage and confront this very world. That Jesus wants to find those places where there is hurting, where Jesus wants to find those places where there is those who are exploited, those who are disadvantaged, those who are the broken and the bruised. And Jesus wants to come into those moments and into those places with the grace and love and mercy that he has in the fullest measure. And if Jesus models that, and if we call ourselves Christ followers, which we should, then it ought to stand that we would be compelled to want to do the same thing. You know, a lot of people sort of take smug joy in, especially in this sort of age and era of all the, you know, left behind and end of the world kinds of things that people like to speak of. I always say to folk, you know, before we try to understand what the second coming is going to be, let's make sure we got the first coming understood. But a lot of people will say to you, oh, you know, these are the days Jesus is coming. Oh, this is the time Jesus is coming. And they'll take a little bit of smug satisfaction in thinking that that means that Jesus is coming to destroy, that means that Jesus is coming to break things down. And yes, we understand that the biblical record speaks to the whole spectrum of all of that. But I'd also like to think that when we say that Jesus is coming, that we also should mean that that's hope for the hopeless, that is healing for the broken, that is empowerment for the weak, that is direction for the aimless. So when we say that Jesus is coming, instead of thinking that it means, you're going to get it now, maybe Jesus coming into the world is coming to a person like Zacchaeus, coming to a person like us with joy and hope and promise, understanding who we are and what we need, not to be torn down, but to be built up. So Zacchaeus is encountered by Jesus, and he comes face to face with everything that Zacchaeus represented: injustice and exploitation and all of the treachery that was part of being a tax collector then. And we don't know what the conversation was over dinner. We don't know how it unfolded and how Zacchaeus may have shared the trials and the turmoils and mistakes of his life. But we do know that on the other side of all of that, Zacchaeus comes out before the crowd. By the way, the crowd who saw no value in Jesus having spent time with Zacchaeus. He's spending time with a sinner. But don't you get it? The very people that we think there's no value in spending time with, those are the very people that Jesus has come to fellowship with. The people that maybe in our human frailty we give up on are those who Jesus has come to give new life to. So Zacchaeus comes out and makes a proclamation, first of all, that because of this encounter, he has a newfound generosity of spirit. Half of what he has, which no doubt was much, would be given out freely and fully without any kind of encumbrance. But not just that, and that's fine, and that level of generosity is wonderful, and we ought to rejoice in that. But there's another element to this story that, again, as I said, makes it so radical and so profound when he says, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So what Zacchaeus is saying here is not only will I be generous? And we certainly can all be generous. But what Zacchaeus is saying, because of this newfound relationship I have with this redeeming and loving Savior, I want to right the past wrongs that I have been a party to. I want to reconcile those situations that I have been the author of. I want to repair the breaches that I have created. I want to heal the wounds that I have inflicted. And the power of this encounter is that because Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was, he compelled Zacchaeus to become a new person. And becoming that new person, Zacchaeus wanted to use the impact and influence that he had, not just to feel good about himself, but to right the wrongs that surrounded him. And so, when we're encountered by Jesus in a direct, real way, oh, it should make us rejoice, but it should also compel us to work for what is right and just and caring and loving to others. So, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, come down. Come from that perch, that perch of last resort. Come down and fellowship with me. And Jesus says to you, come. No matter how despairing your situation might seem to be right now, here I am. No matter how many options and chances you've used up, here I am. No matter how much pain you've inflicted, or no matter how much pain has been inflicted upon you, here I am. I understand pain. I understand grief. I understand sorrow. And because I understand pain and grief and sorrow, I want you to be the recipient of the healing and wholeness that can only come from me. So Zacchaeus has a direct encounter, tailor-made for who he is and what his circumstance is. And the same kind of direct encounter awaits each of us if we feel somehow that we've grown distant and removed from what it is that God would seek to do in our lives. In the same way that he encounters Zacchaeus, he's got a word for us. And not only that, but that's the good news that we can take out from this place, that no matter who you encounter, no matter where you are, you can say with all confidence that the love and mercy and redemptive power of God is available to whomever, wherever, whenever. Jesus, in encountering Zacchaeus, redeemed his past. Now, I know there's sometimes we can't go back and relive and rework the past. But there are many occasions in which we can do those things that make up for the past by the power of our actions now. And that's what Zacchaeus did in making sure that he was reconciled to those whom he had cheated. But not only did Jesus allow for Zacchaeus to redeem his past, he transformed his present. He took him down from that perch of inconvenience and saw him face to face. But not only again did he redeem Zacchaeus' past and transform his present, a present now of generosity, a present now of reconciliation, a present now of being made whole again, but he redirected his future. Now, the record doesn't tell us everything that happened after this moment, but you and I can be sure that in some measure and in some way, this Zacchaeus, the same one who was loathed and hated by all of those around in Jericho, because he had been so loathed and so despised, this powerful transformation served as a testimony to what God can do and how God can be at work in our lives. And I would not purport that any of us are as surly in our reputation as Zacchaeus. But we all have our chinks and our flaws and our shortcomings. And if the God of all creation, made full and complete in Christ Jesus, can encounter Zacchaeus and tell him to come down out of a sycamore tree and sup with him and allow for his presence to transform him, how much more so can God do the same with each of us? And the good news that we can carry out from this place is that there's no person and there's no circumstance that the loving, empowering presence of Christ cannot affect for the better. Zacchaeus, he may start out in our minds as this wee little man up in a sycamore tree, but Zacchaeus is living proof that the Lord of all creation can change us, can renew us, can reconcile us, can revive us, and can give us cause for rejoicing. So when we consider this story in the future, when we consider who Zacchaeus is, remember that there's a little bit of us, even if we haven't climbed up into a sycamore tree, there's a little bit of us, even if we haven't committed the measurable things that Zacchaeus did. And Jesus is able to meet us in the same way. Not with a random reply all. Don't you sometimes find those reply all responses a little annoying? That you're included with that, you know, those 70 other people on the email chain. But don't our hearts kind of lift up when someone has taken the time and the effort to speak to us? Not generically, not broadly, but to speak to us directly, to speak to our hearts, to speak to our circumstance, to speak to our situation, and not just to speak to us, but to bring us life and hope and joy.